Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from two passages. First, out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, then out of a portion of Psalm 23. First, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning of verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there all alone, and the boat, which he had put the disciples in, was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And then out of Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, in the first five words, powerful, "The Lord is my shepherd." But continuing on, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, that passage in Matthew, it all took place on Lake Galilee, also known as the Sea of Galilee, a freshwater body that is only 13 miles long and about 7.5 miles across at its widest point, small as far as lakes and seas in general go. And it's probably the site of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5-7 that we have read at other times. It is Israel's largest source of fresh drinking water, and a pilgrimage site, probably, for many Christians, and where Jesus walked on water, as we read. The small size of the lake made it more vulnerable to winds off the surrounding mountains called the Golan Heights. And so the lake had the potential, in bad weather, of becoming a bit of a blender. Storms would hit every couple of weeks and last for 2 or 3 days at a time. And this is the place where the disciples and Peter found themselves after a long day they had just spent with Jesus, as Jesus taught and healed and fed 5,000 men, plus all the women and children, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Story for another day that you have read about before and are familiar with. As their boat made its way across the lake, Peter and his friends knew they were in trouble. It should have been a 60-minute cruise across the lake, but it went on and on and on, lasting all night. It was dark, it was windy, raining buckets, lightning slashed through the black sky. They were in the middle of the sea, being tossed about by the winds and the waves. We've all been there, though, haven't we? Maybe not in a boat in the middle of a stormy sea, or maybe some of you have, but we've all been in the middle of a career change, tossed by the uncertainty of what was ahead. In the middle of relationships tossed by disagreements, family turmoil where the unimportant seeks to reign over the important, financial struggles tossed upside down by rising debt, or maybe failure tossed around by the expectations and judgments of others. The disciples fought the storm for 9 cold, drenching hours, and at about 4 a.m., something strange happened. They spotted a ghost on the water coming their way. They were terrified. The storm was horrible. But now this, too? Then Peter recognized that it was Jesus. None of them expected that, to see Jesus coming their way in the midst of their trouble, out in the middle of that stormy sea, walking on the water to boot to them. And neither do we. He had been with them, teaching and praying and feeding thousands. He had been with them while they watched him, healing and answering questions from the religious leaders of the day designed to trap him. But there he was in the midst of the worst storm they had ever experienced, and they were in the boat and saw him. And if we were in that boat too and saw him, we would have been terrified. They didn't expect him there to come to them in that moment. But then, my friends, neither do we. But why not? Why not? We expect him to come to us in the usual moments, don't we? The expected moments, the quieter moments of our lives, but not like this. Not in the worst of times, not in the storms of life. Really? Why not? Why not look for him then? We see him and feel his presence when he comes to us in the peaceful hymns we sing in churches on Easter Sundays and sunrise services and quiet retreats, studying and praying together to him. We expect to find him in our morning devotionals, our times together, gathering in his name in church worship services and family times, times of Thanksgiving gathered around a table full of food and other gatherings together. But what about in the storms? What about when things and people turn against us and you are standing all alone? What about when people turn away and criticize or condemn us? Do we look to find him then? Do we look for him when we're fired or during a long losing streak in the world of sports? Do we look for him to find answers to disagreements, to lift right over wrong? What about in the horrors of war, or when a tragic disaster hits, maybe a hurricane or tornado, or in the midst of a bad economy? Do we expect to see him in any of those storms? I wonder if we do, and why not? Well, on many occasions, many occasions, neither did the disciples. Just like that night on the Sea of Galilee over 2,000 years ago, but why not? Of all times, why not then? Because listen, my friends, it is in the storms that we face and go through in life that he does his best work. It's in the storms that we have his keenest attention. We need help, and he knows it, and he always comes to us. Why? It's pretty simple. Because we are his, and he loves us. That's when he shows up. Jesus said in the passage that we read, "Hey, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." My friends, there is power in those words, peace in those words, hope in those words. "I am here," he says. My friends, he is there. He is here. He comes to us. A few years ago, my elder granddaughter, Hannah, and I were in the garage at our house cleaning the windows on her Mimi's car. Hannah was about 7 years old at the time. Actually, I was cleaning the windows on the car, and she was simply there encouraging me, and I was glad that she was. And then after a while, she wandered out toward the woods that bordered our property next to the garage. The garage door was open, so I could see her every step from where I was inside the garage as she crossed the driveway to the edge of the grass, 25 feet away, bordering the woods which ran the length of our side yard. So as I kept cleaning, I was watching her, what she was doing and where she was. But just as I had finished cleaning the windows of the car, I saw her begin to cry. The penetrating sounds from her sobbing quickly followed what I witnessed in her crying. I leapt from my spot on the footstool, ran over to her, and quickly determined that nothing had seemed to hurt her, which might have caused what was now a steady stream of tears. I didn't see any snakes, and she hadn't gotten into an ant bed. Everything seemed okay, at least in that regard. "What's the matter, sweetie?" I asked as I held her in my arms and wiped the tears from her cheeks. "Granddaddy," she choked out through tears, falling heavily down her soft cheeks. "You left me." "But precious, I didn't," I reassured her. "I was here all the while." And I was. My words, "I was here all the while," and those of David in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." All those words are a reminder for us, for you and for me, that in the midst of this life of ours, with the straight and narrow and crooked streets, with all the side streets and detours that we encounter, all the hurdles and storms which come our way, God hasn't gone anywhere. And even more, wherever we are, whatever we're in the middle of, he comes to us like he did with the disciples in the boat, or in the worst storms and moments of our lives, he comes to us and is there to walk with us in whatever we're going through. We cannot go anywhere where God is not present with us, nowhere. We can't hide any place. God will always see us and come to us. He comes to us and is alongside us, behind us, above us, below us, carrying us, and in front of us, wherever we are. So again, where do we find him? Well, we find him in the quiet moments of life, in times of worship and prayer, in times of fellowship with others in his name, absolutely. But we also always find him when life doesn't seem to go so well or smoothly, in the storms, the difficulties, and uncertainties of life, in the worst of storms and the heart-wrenching difficulties of life, he comes to us. When we feel lost and all alone and not sure we can take another step, he comes to us and stays with us. And when we feel like we've been left all alone on a grassy strip or abandoned and no one seems to care, he cares and he comes to us wherever and always. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for the reminders every day in our lives, of the reminder in this passage that we read, where you came to the disciples, you come to us wherever we are. Every day you send a call of a friend times, a visit, a breeze through our hair, a sunrise, a sunset. So many ways you remind us that in the midst of whatever we go through, the quiet moments and the storms, that you are there and you come to us always and say to us, I'm here. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Lord, for that. Be with all those folks going through some difficult times, the loss of a loved one, surgery, travel, whatever, Lord. Remind them all that you are there, and always will be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son. It's in his precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.